You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
3 minutes past 10, I suppose we should talk some golf. I've kind of, on my last day, I'm just rolling back all the favourites, aren't we? And it's almost like greatest hits, and David Bilesky's a greatest hit. In the year of the long shot on the PGA Tour, our man D. Bilesky has been carving it up, head above water well and truly, kind of like the way the Crusaders haven't, as they're taking on water at a rapid rate. And David, I'll give you that one. I'll let you have that. I'm in a giving mood on my last day here, so... Hey, thanks for all your contributions, and I hope we can, and I'm absolutely certain we can get you on the payroll in some fashion to keep you on with Smithy, because I know how much he appreciates you. How's your year been so far, buddy?
It's been good, Louis. Yeah, look, I was listening to your sermon this morning, which was very touching, and I thought you spoke very, very well, but I did note that you left out that you're fleeing the country while the Crusaders are the bottom of the table and the mighty, mighty Hurricanes lead. Ruling the roost at the top there. So notable admission from your speech this morning. But look, I've had a decent year, as you mentioned. It's been the year of the long shot. I've just put out on my Twitter exactly what the winning odds have been at every PGA Tour event in 2024, and it makes for some pretty grim reading for punters, because the average winning odds has been 157-1, and then if you take out the two Scottie Scheffler victories the last 2 weeks, which have been extremely short priced, then the winning odds would have been 187-1. So it's been a really interesting time for the PGA Tour. Fortunately for us over at Wind Daily Sports and Deep Dive Golf on Twitter, we hit Matthew Pavon at the Farmers Insurance Open at 125-1. And that's really been the only way that you're going to be in profit this year, is having hit at least one of those very, very long shots.
Is there any theory or tenuous link to Scheffler's SP being so short and then the winners outside of that being extremely long, or no? Is a golf field too big for those things to correlate?
I think more so, I mean, Scheffler's only really come right the last couple of weeks when he switched to the new putter, and that's really what's been transformed his game. Okay. He's been hitting the ball at kind of the same clip that he has been for the last kind of 2 years, very easily leading the world in terms of strokes gained, ball striking. But change of the putter has really been what's flipped that around. More so than anything, I think that it's a factor of, one, LIV Golf taking a lot of that middle ground in these fields. You know, a lot of those golfers who typically would have been priced in that kind of 50-80-1 range, you know, taking a lot of those middle ground golfers really does... You'd expect at least one of them kind of each week to come in and potentially win the tournament. And I think that's one of the factors why we're seeing so many long shots now. It's a changing dynamic in terms of that side of the market. And then as well, just the fact that previous years, I mean, it's a pretty short sample size in the scheme of things. We're looking at 12 tournaments, but in previous years, you've seen a large number of favourites winning, and actually a really disproportionate number of golfers not priced over triple figures, 100-1 or more, winning golf tournaments as well. So it could just be a bit of a regression to what you'd expect over the longer term. But certainly been a tough start to the year for most punters. But fortunately, we're still in profit, which is the most important thing.
Okay, so Scottie Scheffler's price is, you know, so you're explaining it's partly because, well, it's mostly because of his recent form with the new putter. So What do you suspect will happen when he goes back into the fields in a major, when you get the LIV golfers back? Are they still going to price him in his own, you know, judging them by his own form, or they'll have to bake in the rest of the field, the strength of the field, obviously. But do you think he's going to be starting shorter in the majors this year than he was last year, for example?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, we've seen his price absolutely dive for the Masters. I mean, you're getting him at like $5.50 at the moment.
Kind of
the best that you'll find out there for Augusta. So that kind of caliber field, and he is incredibly, incredibly short in that market. So, look, I mean, there's a lot of money coming his way. There will be this week as well in Houston, especially given his links to Texas. He's a previous winner at Augusta. He's never finished worse than 19th. He's gone 19th, 18th, 1. 10th and his four starts there, and he's coming in off the back of two wins where he's gained strokes putting. So I think it's pretty scary for the rest of the field, but $5.50 or so around about that mark,
Dave,
is very, very short.
Is that bottom price, or do you think he goes out and, you know, so let's say, I don't know if you're tipping him to win this week. I know you won't be tipping him to win this week because he'll be too short, but or fair price, but what, you know, goes out and goes very close again this week. Does that Masters price like continue to shorten, or do you think punters can wait and get a better price if they're keen to back him?
I don't know if it'll come down any further. I think everyone's seen enough from Scottie Scheffler to really understand what he's been doing in terms of the ball striking, but then the putter coming right as well. I think that if he wins this week, it perhaps comes even shorter. If he doesn't win this week, he'll be expected to finish top 10, top 5, so he might stay around the same price if he doesn't win. But if he were to win, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes any shorter than that. And the odds that he's priced at the moment, this is the shortest that anyone's been for the Masters since Tiger Woods in 2013. So it really just to put in perspective what Scottie Scheffler is doing at the moment and the way bookies are pricing him. You know, what that does mean, though, I mean, if we look at this week, for example, you know, Scottie Scheffler's priced at $3.60 over the TAB, you know, that's still giving him about a 30% chance of victory in terms of the implied probability. So that still means that 70% of the time the bookmakers are kind of expecting somebody else to win the golf tournament. So do bear that in mind, that it's not necessarily an absolute lock that he goes out and wins this thing. You know, there's 144 golfers in the field, and as we've seen throughout this year, and we saw last week with Peter Minotti, anyone on their day can come out and shoot really low one and go and win a golf tournament.
So what about Foxy then, around Memorial? Because what Smithy tried to kind of explain yesterday, and he's surmising that maybe the general strength of field and probably the courses as well, it might have not tripped him up, but it's just, you know, we're seeing Ryan now consistently playing against this sort of field, and there might have been a bit of a coming back to actual reality around Foxy, because we love him so much. Our narrative can probably get a little bit twisted here in New Zealand around where he's going. I mean, saying that, his rankings don't lie. And just looking at what his numbers have been over the last few weeks, any part of you worry, or is any part of you thinking this is probably more reflective of his ability, or how do you kind of appraise his start on the PGA Tour this year?
Not necessarily. I'd rather look at it from a global perspective. I mean, if we look what he did in 2023, I mean, he played a number of PGA Tour tournaments. He finished 14th at the Arnold Palmer, finished 27th at the Players' Championship, finished 21st at Charles Schwab Challenge. So he had a number of decent finishes in the tournaments that he did play on the PGA Tour last year as well. He actually just started the year quite slow, outside of sort of a 14th at the Dubai Invitational and 31st at the Dubai Desert Classic. He was sort of consistently losing strokes on approach each week at every tournament that he was playing, and typically that's a real strength of Ryan Fox's game, is how good he is with his irons. So what's promising for me is that despite missing the cut at the Valspar and the Players, two golf courses that I don't think necessarily actually suit him that well, given both of those golf courses are really quite reliant on driving accuracy, at each of those tournaments he's now gained on approach for the three tournaments straight. So arriving now at a golf course that I think is going to suit him a lot better, I'm still quite optimistic. And bear in mind, this is for almost every tournament that Ryan Fox plays this year, it's the first time he's seen the golf course. So not only is he adapting to life on the PGA Tour and living in the States majority of the time, he's also having to adapt and learn each of these golf courses as he goes through. So I do think that your first year on the PGA Tour is always going to be your toughest, just as you get used to, you know, where the locker room is, where your layout points are, how you should approach each hole, where the ball runs out to, how the greens are going to be shaped and where the ball's going to run out, depending on which quadrant of the green you hit. All of that does take a bit of time to adapt to as well. So, look, I'm not actually too worried, and I think there's actually some really positive signs in his game from the last few weeks, the way that he's been striking the ball. So, quietly optimistic about his chances this week.
So you don't say I don't ever do anything for you, because you see what I've done there? I've made you sound like the best guy in the world. Just giving you a little half volley on the pads there to be able to clip away and tell us why we should be positive. Okay, well, keep this in mind. You don't know this, but we are putting your best bet in our weekend multi, something kind of top 10, top 20, top 40. So what about the rest of the field here at the Houston Open?
Yeah, so Memorial Park, it's interesting, this tournament. We actually haven't been here since October 2022. There was no tournament in 2023 as the PGA Tour has moved to a calendar year. So the tournament's moved from being a full event to actually part of the main PGA Tour. So we see a bit of an elevated field here, which is nice, but it does mean that it could potentially play a bit different. And what I mean by that is that they've had to overseed the greens, for example, having been just after winter. So now it's a mix of Poe over Bermuda grass on the greens. We've seen the rough come down. So the rough typically has been sort of 2.5-3 inches here, and it's come right down to 1.5 inches, which is basically nothing. The rough's not going to be very penal whatsoever. And it's a really long golf course as well. So five of the par fours are 490 yards or longer. It's got an unusual setup with five par threes, majority of which are quite short. So a lot of that distance, being a 7,400 par 70, a lot of that distance comes in the par fours and par fives, a number of them over 600 yards. So it really, this tournament has been shaping for me quite some time as a home for the power hitters. I think driving distance is really essential here to be successful, and you can be a little inaccurate off the tee, which is why I'm quite fond of Ryan Fox's chances here this week, just given I think it's going to fit his game a lot better, and I'm seeing some positive sides in his approach. But another golfer that I like, and if you do want to include this one as your top bet, would be Joseph Bramlett, top 40 at $2.63 on the TAB, and so top 40 Joseph Bramlett, very, very long driver of the golf ball. I think that this spot is going to suit him a lot better. He played last week at the Valspar and quietly finished 17th on a golf course that is really focused on driving accuracy a lot more than this week is. He lost 10% on driving accuracy to the field and still managed to finish 17th last week. Not necessarily the strength of his game, but he is an out-and-out bomber. So really like him in terms of the fit this week. And the fact he's coming in off a good finish last week as well is quite promising. He finished 9th here last year as well, so I think that's another good sign that the course should suit as I. So yeah, top 40, Joseph Bramlett, $2.63, put it in the multi.
Okay, locked in. Beautiful stuff. Great explanation there as well. We like guys that can go big off the tee and, you know, still hang around. We've got a bit of other golf this weekend as well, don't we? Hero Indian Open.
That's right, yeah, and it's a wild golf course. It's a Gary Player designed VLF golf club over in Delhi, and it's this really quirky man-made course. Like, these holes that double back on themselves. There's these outrageous bunkers, man-made lakes. The golf course has been absolutely made to just destroy every golfer that plays it. It's been made to be as tough as it possibly can. We saw a 90 here last year. We saw a number of golfers shoot 80s as well. So wow, it's going to be a very, very volatile golf course, and it's built that way. I'm not sure that I necessarily love it, but it does make for extremely entertaining viewing. So if you do get a chance to turn on the TV and see what's happening over in India, I do think it's quite a fun golf course to watch. Some of the best golfers in the world really struggle because it's a very, very tough test. Driving accuracy is quite important there. You do need to be finding the fairways. Even though it is long long. Some of the holes, as I said, do double back on themselves, and there's a lot of quirks to the course as well. So just finding the shortcuts and being able to keep the ball in play is really the key at that golf course there. So in terms of one that I'll get out there, Urs Lauten, he's a very bit of a journeyman on the DP World Tour, but the golf course has kind of favoured those who are a bit wiser and a bit bit of an older hand, as it were, and those who've had a bit of experience with the DP World Tour are able to handle the quirks of this course and take them their stride. Lauten's had a very good record at this course previously, so it obviously suits his eye, but what was most eye-catching for me is that last week at the Singapore Classic, you know, there was a course that was really, it's really built for bombers and long drivers, and we saw that with the winner Jesper Svensson in his rookie season breaking through, and he's one of the longest drivers on the tour. Lauten finished 11th last week, and he's one of the shortest drivers on tour, so again, a player who I wouldn't have necessarily thought would play well on that course, playing very well, and now he's going to a golf course where he has played very well previously. So I think that's a really promising sign for him and one to look out for, so you can get him the top 20 at $2.50 at the TAB.
Gold, yeah, I've seen clips of this. The bunkers are actually out of this world. It looks like a foreign planet. It looks like you've kind of ended up in a different orbit somewhere, and you've kind of landed and you had your clubs with you and you've gone to play golf and you've ended up in a crater. It's quite staggering to see. David, actually, you might find this interesting. I played golf with the boys in the office here, Jake and Juddy and Chris Harris the other day. And I'm a hacker, like a true hacker. Harry, on the other hand, big lefty. 2 under through the front nine, putting on a clinic. It was actually a privilege to watch. I mean, he gets this big high fade. It's just, you know, when you play with someone, you're like, that actually feels unfair. You shouldn't be able to do that. Like you shouldn't be playing with us here and be able to do that. That's how I felt.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, and look, I mean, that's actually a way a lot of the professional golfers are going now, is moving towards a high fade, like sort of a little baby cut and being able to land it softly. So, yeah, but unfair of Harry to pull that one out on you. I feel for you there, mate.
Yeah, it was disgraceful, really. And I told Smithy, and I think Smithy was genuinely upset about it. Like, he was, you know, really, like, kind of disappointed to hear about how good he was. Mate, do you have any, look, you watch a lot of this stuff. I'm going to be up in, obviously, Europe and Northern Hemisphere for a wee while. Is there anywhere I should absolutely get to? And bonus points if it's kind of off the radar / a little bit cheaper.
Yeah, I think if you want to go and watch Daniel Hillier potentially win a golf tournament, I reckon making your way to the Czech Republic would be a cool spot to get to. So Czech Masters is played on a golf course called Albatross, real bomber's paradise, nice long golf course there, and I think that would really suit Daniel Hillier. So that might be a cool spot to head down to. I think one of the most beautiful golf courses in the world, and one that's pretty iconic, is Crans-sur-Sierre in Switzerland. So the European Masters is held there, really quirky little course, but set up in the Swiss Alps, played at altitude, really fun course to go watch with all the Swiss Alps and mountains in the background. Really tight, sort of fiddly course as well. So if you want to watch some golfers make yourself look better, fun place to go to. And then you've got the iconic tournament of the DP World Tour, is the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. Not necessarily going to be the cheapest one to get to, but if you want to go and watch some of the top players play, that's a really nice spot to get to as well. And obviously, Foxy's a defending champion there, so expect that he will be back there to defend his title this year, no doubt.
Okay, I'm just having a look here. I'm just punching this into directions. So, okay, 13 hours, train, a bus. Yeah, okay, I can do that. I've got to get from Harlem to Prague. Yeah, I feel like I can make that happen on August 13 to watch Dan Hillier contend at Albatross Golf Resort just out of Prague there. Perfect. David, that's wonderful. I'll take that. And of course, the BMW would be something else. It would be really, really special. Look, I thank you for your work, your service this morning, making us all feel a little bit upbeat about Foxy, and also giving us a couple of winners. One in particular, Joseph Bramlett, top 40. It's going to go in our weekend multi. I think it would only be fair for my last one, we get it up for the punters. So we know that you've probably got a lock there. I'll do some study through the rest of the show. Make sure you keep your phone on because the boys will want to be in touch. And Smithy is a massive fan of your work, which is at Deep Dive Golf. If anyone wants to figure out how to get David's full tip sheet, just go to Deep Dive Golf on Twitter/X and you can work from there. But yeah, appreciate all your work, man. I've always enjoyed catching up.
Yeah, same, Louis, and all the best in your travels. I know you're going to have an awesome time. Make sure you make the most of it. I'm sure you'll find a few golf courses to go appreciate. Give me a message. I'll tell you who the winners are going to be. And, yeah, a few obscure race courses, no doubt, as well. So safe travels and enjoy it, mate.
I'm sure I can probably quinella up the trip to the Czech Republic with the local harness racing scene. So I'll try and make that work. David, nice to chat, buddy. See you.
Cheers, mate.